You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for April 26th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where our presidential exploratory committee is currently asleep on the windowsill, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Shh, don't wake the Presidential Exploratory Committee.
Yes, our president. We have three on our on our committee, and it is, you know, it, I have to say, it's highly partisan.
It is. One says go right, one says go left, one says go right up the middle.
And we've had kind of a rough week at home in terms of repairs, expensive repairs to that were forced upon us once again. Yeah. You know, our house is 50 years old, and so there are things that are going to need to be done.
And
our car is our second car. We have two used vehicles. Mm-hmm. And the one that the 16-year-old drives around, what does it need again?
The one the 16-year-old has colonized. And
we can call it, I think we can call it Little Bertha. She calls it Little Bertha.
Little Bertha is her darling. Nice little Ford Freestyle that she needs the throttle control body replaced.
Oh, okay. I just think of it as the 1066 repair because that's how much it's going to cost.
And the software needs to be reflashed and stuff. And it's a known problem with this model, and we were getting by, and now we're not. So be replaced, and it's an old car. It's got 1.3 million miles on it. So
it's a 2007, I think. So
it's around.
A good old car for a 16-year-old to drive around to school and so forth. So between school and the mall and school and the mall, I think she's doing okay.
Well, it allowed her to get a job and allowed her to get views. And so it allows a lot of pressure to be taken off of us for getting people to school.
That's why parents give teenagers cars. I swear to God, it's convenience. I know the car talk guys used to talk about that. It's like, you don't deserve a car. We're doing this for our own convenience so that we don't have to take you everywhere. Yeah. So at any rate, we've decided to set aside the body work that we were going to do on the original car. That's over with. And we're going to retool our GoFundMe page downward. And thank you to the $124 that has already been raised at the GoFundMe for car repair. We will be using that for car repair, but it will be for little Bertha. And we'll figure out how to pay for the rest of that as we can. One way we can pay for it is with sponsorships, and we have a fake sponsor. This is a fantastic fake sponsor. I'm so excited about our new fake sponsor.
We have been courting these people forever, and eventually we get them. They're tough. They won't advertise on Tucker Carlson. They won't even advertise on Rich and Maddow, but we landed them. So
fantastic.
Pretty thrilled. They will advertise on Chris Cuomo's show. So that tells you pretty much all you need to know about our new sponsor, Centrist Silver. Are you over 40 and terrified of taking a position on anything? Do you hide under the sofa with your hands over your ears shouting, "Both sides do it!" at anything that happens anywhere? Well, Centrism Silver might be right for you. Now, this drug comes with a warning. Warning, Centrism Silver may react violently with alcohol and other medications. Your mouth may require rinsing after using Centrism Silver. If you're pregnant or care about children or health care or the future generally, do not take Centrism Silver. Centrism Silver will be rendered ineffective when exposed to light or contrary information, so please store in an area away from light or contrary information exposure. Some patients taking Centrism Silver have performed certain activities while they were not fully awake. These have included sleep driving, making and eating food, calling friends and arguing about a grand bargain, writing Ron Fournier fan fiction, and voting for third-party candidates. Patients often pretend not to remember these events after the election when they discovered how thoroughly screwed they are. Stop taking Centrism Silver if you experience sharp or crushing existential anxiety, sudden shortness of temper, sudden pain in the ass, sudden severe remorse vomiting, dizziness or fainting, changes in vision statements, chronic bothsiderisms, general weakness, sudden unexplained purchases of books by Ben Sasse or David Brooks, changes in the amount of urine produced, severe or persistent eye rolling, or difficulty swallowing basic historical facts. Centrism Silver, because figuring shit out is too damn hard.
Centrism Silver, you know, take as directed or don't.
Take as needed. Take as much as you want, as often as you want. Just hide out from, and I know people like this. I encounter them. I know them. I talk to them. You know, we talk a little bit about the cult of on the right and how impenetrable conservatives are. And the people we know personally who just go straight from a discussion of how the weather is to how Hillary Clinton's going to prison. And it's just, it's always on their mind. It's all they think about. And there's no way that we can ever talk to those people. The centrist cult is just as bad. It's simply more respectable. But these are people who will sit and listen to the asshole talking about Hillary being convicted all day long and not say a fucking word. And then someone like me will pipe in and say, well, yeah, but you see, everything you just said is bullshit. And here's the facts. And they'll say, now, let's not fight. Let's not fight. Let's agree that both sides have valid points of view. And my issue is, you know what? The first one out of the fucking airlock is you. The second one is the right-wing asshole. Because at least the right-wing asshole believes something. You just believe in cowering like a fucking amoeba, like a fucking jellyfish in the middle of a really important discussion and refusing to listen to any facts at all. Because
okay, but I would say that if the centrist or the both-sider or the person that just wants everybody to get along and eat pancakes...
Yes.
If they are making that argument right up front and stifling the right wing asshole, I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. If they are genuinely saying this is not the place for a political discussion, we are talking about fixing the sidewalk, or we are having Thanksgiving dinner, or we are going to church, or whatever we're doing, where having a conversation about, you know, whether Hillary should go to prison or not is totally off base, and everyone stop it. We're not going to have that conversation.
If they're saying, sir, this is a Wendy's drive-thru.
Right, this is a Wendy's drive-thru.
That's fine.
I get it. But the fact is that centrists often are terrified of the right-wing asshole.
They are.
And they're not terrified of the reasonable leftist who is basing their discussion on facts.
Yes.
They're not afraid to tell them to shut up because truth is truth. But they're afraid of the ideologue. They're afraid that they're going to spark a match or something.
Well, and they're just cowards. I mean, they're just cowards. And I don't care what position they have. I don't care what their job title is. I don't care if they have an MD or a PhD after their names. If your first reaction to fascists taking over your country is, let's not fight.
Yeah, you know, right.
You are the problem. And that you won't fucking listen to any contrary evidence. You just won't. It's not in your makeup. And those people really think the sun rises and sets on David Brooks's hairy ass.
Yeah,
they really do. They love him. They love, and radical love will change the world, honey. And you can pile up the evidence until you blot out the sun. It doesn't matter. They're not budging one inch. And that's honestly I'm not sure the theme of this particular episode of the podcast, but the idea that there are certain factors baked into our politics that they're going to take 30 or 40 years to unravel. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the fact that the right of this country, the political right in this country, are Fox News drunk, fascist, racist imbeciles who are completely beyond the reach of reason. That's just a fact. That's just the reality. It's if you want to make a difference in this country, burn the center down. Don't leave centrists any place to hide because they're the ones who legitimize the right. They're the ones who say, basically, give them half of every argument and everyone shut up.
I think that's one thing that is fascinating about this week as well, which is Donald Trump doing a blanket obstruction of justice in plain sight, blocking every opportunity for Congress to perform oversight through subpoena. And just no matter what it is, no matter what the subpoena is, we will not respond to subpoenas from Congress. That is happening now.
Yeah, it is.
The Justice Department today said that we don't need to answer a subpoena from a person that we need information from. Congress needs information from about the citizenship question on the census.
Right.
And the Justice Department say, fuck you. We don't need to respond to that subpoena. We don't need to respond to any subpoenas from the House of Representatives at all, because they are our political enemies and they will use this against us. And that is really, it really is that argument.
And the idea that the Article 1 branch of government who is charged with doing oversight over the executive branch
absolutely.
Is doing oversight over the executive branch. The same people who were pissing themselves with joy at running one Benghazi hearing after another, after another, after another, yep. long after it was clear, this is just bullshit.
Yep.
And here's the thing that struck me just today. The thing that conservatives jerked themselves off till they were blind over was the stand down order.
Yeah.
That somehow Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were in the ready room cackling over dead Americans. Everything conservatives believe about Benghazi is a lie. Everything. Every hearing has proved it, and they are impervious to reason. Every hearing just didn't go far enough or didn't dig deep enough or didn't subpoena enough people. Somehow, just over the horizon is the magic bullet that's going to take down the entire Democratic Party and make all of us liberals shut our mouths. But here's the thing. A president has given a stand-down order in the face of an enemy attack. His name is Donald Trump.
Right.
And he has told us to keep our pants off and bent over as Russia comes after us again. And it's right. perfectly okay with Republicans.
Right.
Republicans are traitors. Straight up fucking traitors. And the centrist doesn't want to argue about that. You can present, you can lay all the facts you want out in front. Are you okay with that? Yes, but Hillary, I don't want to. Why can't we be civil?
Yeah.
And these sniveling cowards in the middle are the real problem.
Well, this is what I wanted to get to as well, was the question of the legitimacy of Donald Trump's presidency now coming into question.
I saw your tweet
right
here.
The fact that he will not defend the United States against an attack delegitimizes whatever, even the Electoral College, it delegitimizes that because he is not interested in defending the United States of America against a current attack. Period.
Let me ask you a question. And this, I'm not playing devil's advocate.
No, that's fine.
Delegitimizes in whose eyes?
Oh, I know. Delegitimizes in whose eyes? But in the eyes of the Constitution, I think it does.
I agree.
And let me say something else. Two things. One is, I have noticed on CNN and MSNBC this week, something that I have not noticed before. It's a game that we got tired of playing the moment we started playing it, which is, what if Democrats did this?
Yeah, I've seen the game. It's tiddlywinks, yeah.
And and we'd say, no, we're just not. I've heard multiple podcasts that you have on your phone, you know, walking around our bedroom folding laundry and saying, oh, you know, we could play the what if Hillary did it game and let's just not do that. And multiple podcasts say that.
Right.
So I have seen Chris Matthews do it. I have seen Don Lemon do it. I believe Chris Cuomo also did this week. Actually on the air, play that game with Republicans on their set,
right.
sitting on their set, say, if Hillary Clinton did any of this,
if Hillary Clinton did A, B, C, D, F all the way through 999, what would you all do?
Right. She was being pre-impeached before the election. That was happening. And the reason that you know that the standard that the Republican Party is holding up now is bullshit is that those congressmen who have left the House and are now contributors to cable news call it out.
Sure.
Charlie Dent was on Don Lemon's show last night and asked that, you know, that to play that party game, to play tiddlywinks. You know, what if the Democrats, what if Trump was a Democrat? What if the Democrats were doing this? And Charlie Dent said, bloody shirt.
Sure.
We would be waving a bloody shirt in the air and calling it a human rights violation. That's what it would be. And no question. And then, of course, you can predict what he did next. Can you predict what he said next?
Well, it depends. Is he a book coming out or not?
No book coming out.
Here's
CNN what... as a paid contributor. Right. So he said, well, you know, but Eric Holder Fast and Furious,
and it took years
to get those papers. So, you know, there aren't no angels in Washington. There are no saints in Washington, you know. So hypocrisy on both sides. So
you are now undercutting your own argument.
Yeah, right.
That
I know.
Republicans out of power will. No, they won't.
To his credit, Don Lemon called him out on that and said, you just gave me one instance. I can give you dozens of instances of Donald Trump obstructing justice today, right now.
That's when Don Lemon branded him with his own words,
yep.
took him to Lindsey Graham's office and threw him through the window, right?
No, no.
Because that's the only way you're going to get fucking Lindsey Graham's attention. Right. It doesn't matter. Once these everyone, other than Louis Gohmert, who really is just as dumb as a shoe. He just is a fucking moron. He's just an idiot. If you just sort of factor out the idiots and look at the Jim Jordans, who lie, who protect child molesters.
Yes,
and
right.
And laugh about it. There's no force on earth that's going to knock the smirk off of Jim Jordan's face other than having his political party burn down around him. He just, because he loves this. This is all about owning the libs. There's no greater traitor to America than liberals. There's no greater enemy than the liberals. The idea of Vladimir Putin riding shirtless down Pennsylvania Avenue and claiming the White House delights Republicans because mm-hmm. he's a strong leader. So the whole concept of calling them out and making them feel guilty and what if we did this, what if we did that, is entirely flawed because these people don't speak that language at all. They don't understand why we care about this at all. They only care about ratings and about making people like you and me cry. And whatever it takes to make people like you and me cry, whether it's caging babies or setting fire to the Constitution or invading Iraq or dragging Hillary Clinton figuratively through the streets, they'll do it, and they'll do it with a fucking smile on their face because they believe that their white nationalist cause is what God wants them to do and be. And there's no way in the world. These people have all gone long on being ignorant, racist scumbags for decades. There's no way for them to walk this back now. They're in the bunker with the Führer. Now.
Yeah.
There's no way out for them. So there's no reason for them to even pretend to care about this country. Lindsey Graham doesn't give a shit about this country. John McCain did not really give a shit about this country. John McCain cared a lot about John McCain, but did not really give much of a shit towards the end about his actual country. He cared a lot about making Donald Trump look stupid, but he never left for the Republican Party. He never flipped parties. He never walked away from his group. He just stood in the middle of it and held up the tattered shreds of his principle. Mitt Romney doesn't give a shit about this country. Susan Collins doesn't give a good goddamn about this country. The most concern Republicans are capable of expressing is standing there with their hands on the hips going, tisk, 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 isn't that a terrible shame? But what about Eric Holder? And all of them have to go. Because if you don't do it, it's going to come roaring right back. This is what happened after Iraq. These same scumbags were let off the hook. Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's get on with the business of this collapsed economy and these wars that we're in, the fact that people are dying for lack of health care. Let's get on with the business of governing. Republicans took that as a cue that, oh, great, you're not going to punish us for being monstrous, seditious, evil assholes. Let's just go right on doing that, except worse. Hey, let's grind the government to a halt. Let's steal a Supreme Court seat because these fuckers won't do a goddamn thing. Mitch McConnell could steal a Supreme Court seat, hand it on a silver platter to the worst president in history and smile about it.
Yeah, and he did. So, he did that this week. He promised he'd be the Grim Reaper for the Green New Deal and laughed about it. Yeah. Yep.
The great unspoken question that isn't mentioned really any place outside of podcasts like this one is the problem is the Republican voters. They might be nice in 99 other ways. So when it comes to this, if you vote for Republicans, you are a bad person. And that's something that our politics and our media have no vocabulary to discuss.
I think that's right.
You can't do it. They can't do it. They won't do it. And they all know it. Again, except for Louis Gohmert, who is, as I said, as dumb as a shoe. Everyone else is terrified of admitting that fact in public. They'll edge right up to it. But then they'll go, yeah, Matthew Dowd did the same stupid thing yesterday. You know, he got on his little soapbox, was a huge soapbox. This is ABC's news director, right? This is the guy who blocked me for suggesting that both sides do it, was an unprincipled, stupid, dangerous position while he was doing it during the election, insulted my listeners and my readers because they kept going over to him and saying, Driftglass was right. You should really pay attention to him. nobody reads Driftglass if you care about facts. What's Matthew Dowd doing these days? You know, both sides really aren't the same. They're not equal. He just reversed his position because now the wind is blowing the other direction and he doesn't really have a conscience. So he just goes with whatever the prevailing wisdom is. But even, you know, he's sitting there on his ABC News column, which is published somewhere, did a post on it today about how, you know, this is just like, imagine if, if in 1941, Franklin Roosevelt had sided with the Japanese. Oh, my God. This is sort of like observational analogy 101. This is something that an eighth grader would write in an essay. Yes, it was bad, and it would be bad. It's bad now that Donald Trump's doing it. It was bad back then. And his solution is, we as Americans have to give up the partisanship, come together, blah, blah, blah. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. No, that is not what we need. First of all, there's no we in this equation at all. Right. The good guys are already there. The problem is your former political party are full of really, really shitty people who need to have their electoral majority pried out of their fucking hands. These people need to be removed. Mitch McConnell needs to cry and feel like a shitbag for the rest of his life. He needs to go to his grave feeling terrible. But that's not going to happen. These people are not going to give up power easily. They're not going to give it up freely. They're going to fight every inch of the way. They're going to cheat every inch of the way. They're going to suppress the vote every inch of the way. And we need to be ready for that. And that's where a discussion of precedent amused me this week.
Uh-huh.
That what does it mean to future political, et cetera, et cetera? And I'm in the middle of a post going, I don't have a problem with the word impeachment. I have a problem with the word precedent. Because precedent implies that people now will look back to the past to learn the lessons of the decisions they made or the facts that occurred or laws that were passed. And that word doesn't have any meaning when one of our political parties simply does not acknowledge the past ever happened. And that it doesn't matter what happened with Nixon or Clinton or Bush, because those things never happened. It doesn't matter what we do with Donald Trump, because 2 years from now, all these fuckers will be swearing they never heard of Donald Trump. And so if you have to, and this is what's truly terrifying, it doesn't matter how criminal and awful and despicable and loathsome. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump starts a war next week. If he decides that Mexico attacked us and invades Mexico, it doesn't matter. There is no one on the right who will stop it. And the thing that's really chilling is that's baked into our political conversation now. It isn't even mentioned by anyone anywhere that the reason this is all happening on the Democratic side is that everyone in the Republican Party is a stone cold monster.
Well, and for those of you who think that Driftglass is going a little too far with his rhetoric, I just want to point out that Twitter, in internal documents, declared that they could not eliminate white nationalist rhetoric from Twitter because it would mean deleting Republican politicians.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking. When he says monster, when Driftglass says monsters, when he says evil, when he says that, think white supremacy, white nationalism, if that helps you understand what we're talking about. Because that's the evil that we're talking about.
And they don't, when you talk to Republicans in person, this is where getting out of the beltway is kind of important. I was deeply amused last night or the night before when Brian Williams had, for a view from outside Washington, we're going to have Andrew Sullivan up next. Like, are you kidding me? Andrew Sullivan lives in a 10-block radius in Washington. He moved to New York for like a minute. Because that would have gotten him outside the bubble, moving from D.C. to New York. And was so horrified by New York, he had to run back to Washington, D.C. This is a person who's a hermit. So, but the view from outside Washington, these people have no idea what Republicans are like in the wild.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Sullivan only knows about Republicans who walk in front of the Starbucks where he's writing today. And he reaches out and taps them on the shoulder when they're on the way to doing something awful or their way to a cocktail party. The only thing these people know about is the smell of each other's farts. That's all they know about politics. They do not go out into the world where you and I live. Where you and I live, Republicans don't shout. They don't scream, except when Donald Trump's at a rally. But they'll tell you during the middle of a conversation about fixing sidewalks that, oh, and by the way, Hillary Clinton's the greatest criminal in history.
Yep.
And that,
and you had that conversation last weekend.
And the only reason anybody ever did anything Barack Obama said, because he's black. Everyone knows that, because he's black. Yeah. You have to do what the black guy says. But it's just a fact to them. They don't feel like they're making an outrageous or a bombastic or a ludicrous statement. This is just normal to them. This is the normal quotidian vocabulary among Republicans out here in the real world. And that fact is so terrifying to Chuck Todd and to George Stephanopoulos and to the people that own and operate the networks and the newspapers that they just pretend it isn't happening. Except now, rather like climate change, the tide has risen to the point where it's coming over their walls. Where it's actually getting into their backyards. And now they're starting to scratch their heads and go, well, what the fuck happened? They're still putting people on television. They're still putting people in the newspaper who have no business sharing their opinions with anyone, who've been wrong about this forever. The people, of course, they should be putting, you know, on pages talking about climate change are climate change scientists. The people who they should be having talking about politics are people who haven't been fucking wrong about politics for 30 years. But that isn't going to happen. So you have two forces colliding. One is the insularity of the media, that they won't talk to anyone outside of their own bubble, and they won't confront ugly, harsh realities because they don't see them every day. And the second, the creeping cellular level awareness on the part of those people that maybe something really is badly broken in this country, and that radical love and bipartisanship and changing the system and changing our rhetoric isn't going to fix it. That maybe something really is broken way down deep. And all they hope at this point is to get their share before it all falls apart. I don't sense any interest in anyone at the Joe Scarborough level in actually fixing the problem with this country. Because if Joe Scarborough wanted to fix the problem with this country, he wouldn't put Charlie Sykes on or Rick Wilson on. He'd put Digby on.
Well, and Joe Scarborough knows the exact calendar date that he stops paying Social Security taxes. And he doesn't want that date to move to anywhere later in the year.
Yeah.
He can claim the moral high ground compared to Franklin Graham all day long. But the fact that no matter how bad Republican politics gets, he's never going to allow in his own arguments for a world in which he pays more taxes than he already does. He's willing to go full grand bargain as soon as Trump's gone. And all of the Never Trumpers are. And that's why we don't trust Never Trumpers.
And that's why memory is our superpower.
Yeah.
Because we will have the audacity, we commit the heresy of remembering what really happened. I wrote a post about one of the very first posts I wrote. This turns 14 this week. And I wrote a little coda about, while I was busy writing about the fact that the Republican base has lost its mind, is are evil people, are fanatical people, are fundamentalist evangelical lunatics and gun nuts who everyone on the right depends on for electoral victory, and no one on the right wants to acknowledge even exist.
No one on the Washington right acknowledges exists, right.
The moderates, the libertarians, the independents, the sensible center will not ever acknowledge that Rush Limbaugh even exists.
Right.
That Fox News is a toxic disaster and has been for decades. They won't do it. Now they do. Now they're sort of like fleetingly willing to acknowledge that maybe there's something there. But 14 years ago, this was absolutely not the subject of discussion.
Right.
So practically the week I started blogging, it was like, let's talk about the Republican base and how fucked up they are and how they've taken over the party and how they're driving the party into this horrible, dark fascist place. And I went through and like pulled a bunch of the headlines from the cream of the crop of the conservative media. And it was all about how liberals have sold out Terry Schiavo and how Iraq is going really great.
Wow.
And how Paul Wolfowitz is a fucking genius. And it wasn't on their radar at all. They had just won re-election. George Bush was going to do great. He was going to privatize Social Security and make everybody happy. And this was just before it all fell apart. And all I'm saying is, I'm nobody. I'm just somebody with a blog in the middle of a cornfield who reads the newspapers and watches the news on television. But if I could see, and every other liberal I know could see decades ago, that the problem with this country was the Republican base that was being turned into an electoral battering ram by feeding them toxic, horrible, right-wing shit every day, by taking the shit in their skull every day, Rush Limbaugh taking a dump in their skull every day. If we could see that coming, how come we're still the pariahs? And if you couldn't see it coming, how come you still have a job talking about politics in America in 2019? And the answer is because a small group of incredibly powerful people want it that way. That's it. There's no other explanation for why radically unqualified people still occupy positions of respect in our media and our politics. It's because people with a shitload of money and a lot of skin in the game demand that every Tuesday and Friday, David Brooks is in the New York Times, and that Michael Gerson is in the Washington Post, and that Joe Scarborough have a column, and that anybody who talks shit about the Republican Party had goddamn well better stop at 2015. period.
So how do we counteract that besides having a podcast that reaches, a, you know, 5 million listens? Thank you very much, literally, everybody. Over
literally dozens of people.
Over the course of what? 9 years of podcasting. We've reached 5 million people. And so that's a week of Joe Scarborough. But yes. How do we, in the heartland and elsewhere, where you're not, if you're not a Beltway high-powered on television pundit or in that circle, how do we counteract that?
You and me?
No, our listeners, how do they counteract that?
I was going to say we start a podcast called Science Fiction University.
Someday, if we can find the time, it's kind of hard, but we're working on it. Yeah.
My suggestion is, make sure you tell your friends about this podcast.
Ah.
Make sure you tell your family. You've got to have at least two people you know in your life. Mm-hmm. You know them from work. You know them from church. You know them from the gym, some other place that you kind of think maybe they're liberal. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they're liberal. Maybe they're just like sick and tired of the politics of the last 30 mm-hmm. years. And there's something wrong with the matrix.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is, but you know there's something wrong with the world. You got to know one or two people like that. Turn them on to us. Inform them that they're not alone and crazy.
I think that's really important. Let your friends know. Let people know who are disgusted with the whole thing that they're not crazy. And share up. We are happy to be here as a media presence to remind them of that every week.
And here's an important thing for everyone who wants to change the system. Don't focus on changing the system, because it's too big. That's too big for you and me to tackle. What we can do is you focus on the weak point. You don't walk into battle and look at the most formidable fortifications and go, you know what? That triply reinforced wall with the archers and the cannons and the burning pitch, let's attack there. No, you go for the weak point, and the weak point will always be in the center. It always will be, because people who want to be centrists on your local editorial board, who write into your local newspapers, who are on local television, who are on the radio, people who want to be in the reasonable center, mm-hmm. have to have a foot in both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to. So when they are done with the litany of agreeing that, yes, Donald Trump's insane and he's awful, et cetera, but, you know, there's liberals who are bad too, make them explain that.
Yep.
Name me five. Name five people in the Democratic Party who are as bad as Donald Trump is on any given fucking day. Name me five Democrats who've lied in their political lives as much as Donald Trump's lied in a week. Name me one, two, three, or four conspiracies widely held by Democrats that are anywhere near birtherism or any of the bullshit these people believe. What's the liberal Fox News? What's the liberal hate radio? What's the liberal Breitbart? Make them say it, and make them shit themselves, because you came to the party armed. You came to dance. And so when you find yourself in conversation with a conservative, be there as Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to change their behavior. You're not going to change these people at all. They're just going to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And you can look at them. You can say, you're a fucking idiot. You're a liar. You're too far down the rabbit hole for me to even have this conversation. You're a rabid animal. And we can talk about the weather or sports or whatever else you want, but let's not talk about politics. Because, frankly, you got a head full of shit and a mouth full of nonsense, and you're never going
to
change.
You would never talk to anyone face-to-face like that in a social setting, Jeff Glass.
Say to yourself if you want to.
Yeah.
There's no point in having this conversation. There's no point in engaging with these people who think Fox News is news.
Well, and I like the idea, too, of gently, if you are engaged in conversation, I have seen you do this, to gently question what they are saying and bring up actual history of stuff that they would remember, like Romney was going to win in a landslide, and Republicans had control of both houses of Congress for how long, and they didn't find that out about Hillary. They had her on the stand for 11 hours. Didn't they ask? Did they ask her about that? I don't recall them even bringing that up.
I would like that to be true, but these people live in my head.
Yeah, I know. They take up a lot of space in your head. I'm sorry to say that.
The problem with that is I know what the rebuttals are. I know what they'll say. Oh, those aren't real hearings. She just lied under oath. Oh, they didn't bring in the right witnesses. There's always an excuse. There's always an excuse that they didn't go far enough. That if we just went further, if we were just more obnoxious, if we were just if we just ignored the rule of law more brutally, if we just lied harder, if we just shouted louder, then the results would have changed. Faith moved mountains, right? Mm-hmm. So if the mountain didn't move, our faith must not have been strong enough. They're not going to admit they were wrong. It just doesn't happen. That's not in their vocabulary.
All right. I want to switch gears for a minute here and just ask you about the giant bucket of shit that the Democratic Party stepped in this week.
Which one,
honey? That is the whole question of allowing felons to vote.
Yeah.
It upsets me so much that Whoopi Goldberg does a better job of explaining this than some Democratic candidates. And my frustration is that now this is, of course, a wall-to-wall Fox News, wall-to-wall conservative radio.
Yeah.
Democrats want terrorists to have the vote.
Sure, of course.
And we have to answer that. That's a thing that now we have to talk about.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why do we have to answer it?
Because certain Democratic candidates stepped in it and answered it at a forum on television.
I understand. No, and again, I'm being a little bit of a devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. But it's
certain Democratic front runners,
right,
people who are in the top five.
I understand that.
Stepped in that.
That's not my point. My point is, it doesn't matter. Let me analogize this to impeachment. The argument against impeachment is, if you impeach Donald Trump, it'll fire up the Republican base, get them all cranky and ready to go out and just rant and rave and vote and go to rallies, except they're that way already.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what Democrats say. It doesn't matter. Whatever they say, they'll find a snip in there somewhere that says, see, you want to do with college loans because you want kids to be lazy, and they'll all get fired up and they'll all go to rallies and they'll screw. It doesn't matter what Democrats say. Now,
how do we win? How do we win in that environment?
You don't go on Fox News.
I agree with you on that.
Talk to people on Fox. You call Fox News reporters liars. You attack them.
You say, I will not participate in a white nationalist propaganda network.
You don't even talk to them. You fuck those people.
Yep.
Fuck those people. You do to Fox News what Donald Trump does to the legitimate press.
Right.
You point to them and say, they are fucking traitors with cameras. Those people over there, by name, are here to wreck your fucking country. How is that okay with you? Why don't you all go over and have a talk with them about why they work for a fascist institution who's trying to wreck America? Turn the mob on Fox, for God's sakes. Stop playing by their rules. Stop acknowledging they have any right to be at the table. Republicans have no right to say shit in public. That Fox News has no right to ask anyone any questions about anything. They're entirely illegitimate.
Yep. And today, we're recording this on Thursday. Today, Ellie Mistow wrote an article today in The Nation, selling black and brown voters down the river, one Fox News town hall at a time.
Yes, thank you.
Democratic candidates need to stop showing up on a white supremacist network. And that's how you need to put it. And I highly recommend this article. He had a series of tweets on this earlier this week, and he says it flat out. The problem is that Fox News is white supremacist television, and you need to put it that way. And you will appreciate this, Driftglass. He says, I challenge you to take the black Turing test. If I'm listening to Fox News from the last two or three years in one ear and modern white supremacist propaganda in the other ear, how would I know the difference? Good point. And make it that argument.
Are you laughing at that now?
The black Turing test?
No, I'm going to suggest an alternate title. When you talk to Illy tonight on the phone, and I know you will.
Hi.
Suggest the Voight-Kampff Mein Kampf test.
Oh, you better tweet him that, although he's got blue check mark. I don't know if he even knows we exist.
No, but we don't exist. We don't.
Anyway, that's all right.
I'm out of Twitter jail, and that's good. So, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what? They wouldn't let me vote in Twitter jail, Blue Gal.
You weren't allowed to vote on Twitter.
No.
Well, that's the point. Our priority is getting people who have served their time and have been released. That doesn't mean terrorists and murderers who are in prison for life. It means people who have served their time. Yes, a lot of your rights are taken away when you're in prison.
Yes,
the right to go to the grocery store is taken away from you. You know, your right to vote is taken away from you while you're in prison. That is the case.
Yes.
And when you're out of prison and you've served your time, it is cruel and unusual punishment to pretend that you can take away a fundamental right of citizenship once you've served your time. That's the answer. And it pisses me off that major top five Democrats, more than one, fell into that bucket of shit.
Here's the answer.
Don't let them do it.
First of all.
And they all, and of course, one of them also went on a Fox News town hall. Yeah.
The short answer is that's a really stupid question. The long answer is I'm all in favor of full restoration of voting rights for ex-offenders. I don't understand why a right-wing gun nut organization that thrives on the blood of children, like the National Rifle Association, is so excited about restoring your Second Amendment rights to carry a bazooka, but doesn't give a shit about your right to vote.
Right.
Why don't you go talk to the head of the NRA, who I believe is David Duke, right? Oh, no, my mistake. Ha, 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 ha. Next question.
Yeah.
And then you move on. Just because they're dressed up in costume and playing reporter, you need to treat them with the respect the uniform demands is ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you work at Fox News, you don't deserve any respect at all. You deserve to have your coffee peed into.
But that's it. Because it's money and it's collegiality and it's 30 Rock and it's Manhattan. We all have to get along. And there are great people working at Fox.
And
fuck you. There's work at the post office. Stop
and
it.
If you are putting, if you're one of my allies.
Yes.
And you're putting Ben Domenech on the air, or you're putting Hugh Hewitt on the air, you're putting some turncoat, some scumbag on the air because you have, because your boss, Phil Griffin or Andy Lack or Jeff Zucker has a quota system and you have to have X number of wing nuts on the air because the advertising department says so. And you're there to make your quota, or you're putting Tom Friedman on the air, not asking him any goddamn questions about anything, just letting him spout off. Then you deserve to be shit on Twitter and in social media for a 48-hour period. You deserve to know that people who ordinarily will watch you or listen to you or respect your opinion or at least hear you out, you need to know that when you do that, you set fire to your own credibility. And your credibility is all you have. So even your allies can really fuck you up. I was delighted to see Howard Dean on Twitter saying, well, Glenn Greenwald's always been a shit. Always been an ass. He's always been a dick. Like, Howard, I knew I liked you for a lot of reasons. But it's being clear about the boundaries you are setting for yourself. For example, the right answer, as we've said before, to every question about why are you running is I shouldn't be running if you're a Democrat.
Right.
Hillary Clinton should now be running for re-election. Her election was stolen from her, and we can never let that happen again. But because I'm here, and then you give your answer.
Right.
But the longer answer is I will vote for any Democrat. And Bernie Sanders, to his credit, said, I think today. I think you told me this, right?
Yesterday at the She the People Summit said.
Been very clear. I will support and vote for the Democratic candidate for president without reservation.
Yep.
I fully support
that. Which is a change from 2016. Yeah. Everybody gets that. Yes. Yeah.
But that should be every Democrat's bottom line. I don't care if it's Joe Biden.
No, that should be a litmus test for running at this point. If you don't put your top priority of your campaign is to defeat Donald Trump at all costs, you don't deserve to be running as a Democrat.
Does that mean you should calibrate your primary vote to electability? I don't know what the fuck electability means anymore. No, I'm going to vote with my heart. I'm going to vote for the candidate I like and who speaks to me the most and et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to hate anybody else. I'm not going to look down at you because you didn't support my candidate.
I thought Elizabeth Warren's answer on that at the She the People Summit was right on.
Yeah.
She said, what are you fighting with? Are you fighting with your fear or are you fighting with your values?
Yeah.
And if you're fighting to save your house, you're fighting to save your children's health, are you going to go, well, I'm kind of afraid? And she pointed to the audience of primarily African-American women and said, there's an auditorium full of people here who were given nothing and fought their way to college.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take that passion and fight for our country.
Yeah.
And we'll win.
Now, if your heart tells you to calibrate your vote to electability because you're a political nerd and you're worried about what Ohio's going to do this year, fine. That's your thing. I'm not going to judge you for it. I might judge you privately. And,
but well, go with we are blessed with a large number of qualified people.
Yes, we are.
All of whom would be acceptable to me with just a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, we have a score of candidates. Look back at the Republican field last time.
Yes, right.
And just match them up.
Newt Gingrich and Chris Christie and dumbest toast Senator Marco Rubio. Yeah.
These were the best they could field. We have an incredibly impressive score of candidates. Well, again, with minus a couple who really aren't going to go anywhere, so I'm not going to
work. No, that's fine. Yes, but right.
We have a score of really good candidates. I feel blessed. I feel an embarrassment of riches. This is the Democratic Party saying, look, there's one healthy, sane party and everyone's in it. And there's one crazy, fucked up fascist party and those guys are in it. So the choice at the moment is who among all of the people who are contending for your vote do you want to hire for 4 to 8 years as a competent, articulate, intelligent public servant to advance your values in the executive branch, knowing that you might not have the Senate. You know, that we might be stuck in this place where Mitch McConnell is just going to have his foot on the throat of any progress for 2 years after that or 4 years after that. Pick the one that you love and you believe in the most during the primaries and support the shit out of whoever the candidate is during the general election. It's that simple.
Well, and I like the fact I found a lot of allies on Twitter who are giving just a little bit of money to several candidates to make sure they get on the debate stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's fine, you know? And it's seed money. And then when you have a better idea of who the nominee is going to be, you go ahead and give as much as you can to that person. Yeah. Okay, let's do a news roundup.
Are you sure, Bluegill? Are you sure you want to do the news roundup?
Well, I was sad today. I did get emotional this morning because Hillary Clinton's op-ed at the Washington Post was so clear-eyed. And I didn't agree with all of it. I think we need to fight a little harder and with a little more vigor than perhaps she can suggest in an op-ed. But I miss her. And I miss particularly and very specifically the plans that she had for adults with autism, because that hits me personally.
Yes, indeed.
So I'm glad she wrote it, but it got me emotional. So let's do the news roundup.
All right. Odds or evens?
I'll let you do odds this time. How about that?
All right. Well, the first one is, of course, the incredibly tragic news that churches and hotels in Sri Lanka were attacked by terrorists. Explosions killed, at this the latest count, 290 people, injuring more than 500.
And we are deeply saddened by that and with the people of Sri Lanka. All right. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, instructed aides and actually instructed the Director of Homeland Security not to mention Russian election interference in the 2020 election in front of Trump. And also the 2016 election. The whole thing of let's have DHS work on this problem and defend the homeland and defend our elections. Think about that. The acting chief of staff told the DHS director, don't mention it. It'll make him upset.
Yeah. It'll make grandpa cranky.
Yeah. As you said earlier, this is a literal stand down order in the face of hostile attack, as opposed to the fantasy Benghazi stand down order that Republicans have been hysterical about for the past 5 years.
Yes. Today, Joe Biden stepped on Seth Moulton's Multimentum. So sorry, Seth.
Oh, man.
Bad timing.
Yeah.
And you know what? Apparently, Marvel released some movie today, but I don't even know what it is because Joe Biden made such big movies.
I can't see it for the Biden-mentum.
Yeah. Eyes so bright.
Glowing teeth. I can't see the new Marvel movie out there, whatever the name of it is. Right. The White House informed the House Oversight Committee that Stephen Miller will not testify about his role in Trump's immigration policies. Well, that leaves us to speculate, doesn't it?
It does.
We should hold a hearing anyway and just play video of Stephen Miller being a fascist on television. Let that be the testimony.
Empty chair and play video and just, a trial in absentia. Yeah. I have no problem with that. And then have, I don't know, I think you suggested young Martin Landau.
We were watching North by Northwest, and I said, Martin Landau as the sinister sidekick in that movie reminds me so much of Stephen Miller. It's creepy.
Yeah, they just, every time that the chairman of the committee asks the empty chair a question, you play a clip of young Martin Landau going, it's an old Gestapo trick. You know, I think that would accurately sum up the heart and soul of the monster that is Stephen Miller. Who Donald Trump loves. because he's just exactly as cruel and heartless and right-wing.
Well, I love, you know, Ten Grain calls him Donald Trump's pocket Nazi.
Yeah, and he is. Yeah. And he's happy. This makes him very happy. This is what the problem with these people is. Being evil makes them happy, so they're never going to stop being evil. According to the Mueller report, Donald Trump tried repeatedly to get Jeff Sessions to unrecuse himself, which is not a thing, from the Russia investigation, and then reopen an investigation to Hillary Clinton's use of the private email server because he wants to persecute his political enemies. He's going full Nixon with none of the attendant worries about constitution or law.
We're hiding it.
Yeah. Why bother? The whole Republican Party is going to back me on this. I got the mob on my side. What the fuck do I need to worry about history for?
It is a total cult of personality. It has just transformed itself. Trump tweeted that, all caps, he did nothing wrong and plans to head to the U.S. Supreme Court if Democrats ever tried to impeach. And several legal scholars replied with a one-word answer, what? You can't do that. The Supreme Court is not your personal court, Donald.
That's not how this works at all. Jared Kushner showed us all for the 100th time why he should never, ever have been given keys to the White House bathroom, much less a top security clearance, because he dismissed the Russian attack in the 2016 election as, quote, buying some Facebook ads and trying to sow dissent. He further claimed, also without evidence, that Robert Mueller's investigation was, quote, way more harmful than the Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election. They're all evil people. All of them.
Trump will oppose requests for current and former White House aides to testify to Congress, saying there is no reason to go any further, and especially in Congress, where it's very partisan. Obviously very partisan.
We're fighting subpoenas. Subpoenas are ridiculous, Trump said, which, you know, is what any innocent person would say. I have been the most transparent president, transparently evil, and administration in the history of our country by far. He is the most everything of ever of anybody. Mm-hmm. So it really is just, that is one of these standard issue boilerplate lines that are strapped inside of his loose, mushy skull. Whatever it is, it's the most and the best that ever was ever, because he knows 60 million Americans are basically reprogrammable meatbags who will believe anything he says. So why not say anything?
Trump was clearly desperate for his own Mexican Gulf of Tonkin incident when he claimed that Mexican troops, quote, probably, unquote. How does a president even talk like this? Not a legitimate president of the United States.
Send us their rapists and they pull guns on them.
Probably drew guns on U.S. soldiers at the border as a diversionary tactic for drug smugglers. He's insane.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
His own Defense Department says, yeah, that never happened.
Yeah. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. Your dear leader says Mexicans are full of guns and worms and rapists and people.
And they probably shot at somebody.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It looks like the Supreme Court, you know, that Supreme Court that Merrick Garland was told he couldn't sit on and Mitch McConnell rigged so that the crazy man could put a majority on the court. That conservative majority looks like it is going to allow the Trump administration to add that citizenship question to the 2020 census. It's not been ruled on yet, but they're certainly looking like they're leaning in that
direction. Well, and it's hard to really trace what it looks like to an actual vote. There's one thing we've learned from the Obamacare vote is that there's a lot going on behind the scenes between justices, and we will just have to wait and see.
They have a sense of history. At least John Roberts has a sense.
John Roberts does have a sense of what the court is, and every crazy thing they do adds to the argument that the court is already packed, that it has already been delegitimized, and that the way to fix it is to add five more justices to the court at least. Yeah. Trump accused Twitter of deliberately tampering with his followers during a private meeting with Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. And The Daily Show on Wednesday night said Jack Dorsey telling him that a lot of his followers are bots or trolls is like telling a young child there's no Santa. Yeah,
they're all real. They're all real. You know who knows they're real? Many people. The Justice Department refused to comply with a congressional subpoena for a Trump administration official to testify about the addition of a citizenship question to the 2020 census. The census hasn't asked a citizenship question in nearly 70 years. And lower courts have blocked the question, ruling that Trump and his administration violated federal law and the U.S. Constitution by seeking to add it to the census form.
39% of voters approve of the job Trump is doing as president, down from 44% last week, and ties Trump's lowest approval rating ever.
In one 24-hour period, Donald Trump tweeted or retweeted more than 50 times because he doesn't have a fucking job. He demanded an apology from the New York Times. He complained he doesn't get enough credit for the economy. He claimed Twitter discriminates against him, and he attacked the, quote, radical left Democrats. As always, he offered no evidence to substantiate any of his bullshit.
And I am a little hard on Twitter, I realize, but Twitter is providing a national service by keeping him busy two-thirds of the day.
That's true.
And I've tweeted that myself and said, you know, Barack Obama did more work as president in 1 hour than Trump does in 3 weeks. Rudy Giuliani defended the 2016 Trump Tower meeting with Russians offering dirt on Hillary Clinton, saying there's nothing wrong with taking information from Russians. When asked whether it's okay to use information stolen by a foreign adversary in service of a presidential candidacy, Giuliani said, it depends. Depends on the stolen material. What's stolen? I don't understand it. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you for going on the record with that, Rudy. Noted 999 crackpot Herman Cain actually withdrew himself from consideration for the Federal Reserve Board of Governors. However, noted misogynist and all-around super crackpot Stephen Moore is still in it to win it.
And of course, Herman Cain then went on Fox and said, I just wanted the freedom to express myself more. It has nothing to do with all of the corruption and all the other allegations about me. It has to do with whether I will now be free to express myself in a public forum.
That means going without pants next time he goes on. That's all that means.
And in local news, our own Representative Rodney Davis says that the House of Representatives is not partisan and that he is the most bipartisan person God ever created.
Yeah.
And that's why he calls me all the time for advice.
Yes.
And goes into town halls and holds town halls to listen to his constituents. No, he doesn't do that.
But that's a real close approximation to what it said in the paper. Our candidate, Betsy Dirksen-Lonergan, learned a lot last time.
Yep.
Much better on the stump than she was. And came off the blocks fighting this time. And I think it was a real shot at defeating Rodney Davis and putting a Democrat in that seat from this district and helping create that supermajority we're going to need.
Well, and I hope so. And local Republican officials who come out against her with she's a late-term abortion candidate.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they've got. That's all they've got.
Like a liberal socialist who hates America and wants to abort babies.
Yeah, no, that is really where they're at.
Uh-huh.
And that works with some voters. That's the tragedy,
it is
that really works with some voters. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Maya. Maya is exhausted and disgusted by the whole thing. She's on her pillow and in her happy place. And of course, she is sponsored by our fake sponsor, Freshly Poured Cat Food. Whether you buy Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Maya at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air, unless you say otherwise.
I have a small interruption to make.
Yes.
At the end of you singing that song, little old lady cat came ambling across the room and looked at me and went, meow. So it works, people. The jingle works.
The jingle works. It does. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, maybe you could help fix little Bertha.
Poor little Bertha.
A little Bertha fund, yes, to help us fix middle child's round-the-town vehicle. That's what we're paying for this month. And then probably the next couple of months. This is not charity. This is our job. Do you want to say something about little Bertha?
I would love to say something about little Bertha.
Tell us about little Bertha. What's she
All
like?
Right. This morning I got in my vehicle to go to Bible study. And
you did?
Wow.
She's my car. I take to Bible study, church, school.
Bernie rallies.
All good things. So support me. Thank you.
Yeah. And tell us about my birthday. She's a wonderful little car.
That's not what I want to say, though. Can I re-say
that? Yeah, you can re-say that. You absolutely can.
I would love to make a comment on Little Bertha, however.
Okay.
Little Bertha is my baby. Mm-hmm. She's my everything. She's called Little Bertha because we have two cars, and one's a van and one's an SUV. And the van is Big Bertha. And then the SUV, she's big, but she's not that big. So she's Little Bertha because Big Bertha would be doing too much. And Little Bertha is my baby cakes. She's my everything.
She's not working right now.
This morning she went kaput. The transmission pooped out on me, which is so rude. But it's okay. We all have our days. And Little Bertha had her day today. So if you aren't going to send us money, pray for Little Bertha. Thank you.
What a nice comment. That was Bill Child.
Yes. I got that call from the curb.
Bible study is BYOB. Bring your own Bible.
I'm glad to know that. You know, I think you should bring your own Bible to Bible study. It's kind of pointless if you aren't, you know, studying it outside of Bible study class, you know.
My Bible is just Leviticus, so, you know.
Wrath of God
That's
stuff.
It. That's it.
Not 24/7.
I just read Job.
Come on, Drew, let's admit it. You put a little bit of revelation in there.
A little Job, because poor Job.
A little Job.
I identify strongly with Job sometimes. And not really. I have a beautiful home and a beautiful family, and I'm blessed in many, many, many ways. So that's just meant as the story in the Bible where one guy gets pissed off and says, "Why the fuck are you doing this to me?" And gets a really stupid answer from God, frankly. And then God goes away. And because he won a bet. That's the most perfect.
I went to divinity school, and look who I live with.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
All right. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast and Little Bertha with a contribution. You can, too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Both our PayPal, postal address, GoFundMe, which is for Little Bertha. We'll put a picture of Little Bertha. Let's do that on the
sure.
You have that picture of her on the tow truck?
I do.
Today.
So many photos of Little Bertha.
Oh, you do? Okay. Maybe we'll get Middle Child's pictures of Little Bertha up there, too.
And Little Bertha has a professional left bumper sticker on her.
She does have a both sides don't bumper sticker. She does.
Little Bertha is my sugar butt baby cakes.
She loves that car. All right. It's her freedom. It's not just her car. It's her freedom. Remember.
And it's not her car, actually. It used to be.
And it's not her car. Oh. Your stepdad says it's not your car. I'm going to have fun editing this. All right. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution. You can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. All the information is there to help us out with car repair payments, etc., and to pay us for the work we do here at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on Facebook, Twitter, social media of every kind. We so appreciate that. Thank you. Hey, Draft Class, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties are thrilled that Donald Trump has enabled future generations of school kids to include the phrase, "It's total bullshit," in every stupid essay they will ever have to do from now on.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey dovin'. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.